it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Apologies right off the top. It had to happen at some point due to the alphabetical nature of our team of the day, but we will be talking about Toronto. Perfectly fitting. It's rainy today. Hi, Marty.
It is a kind of a yucky day. Might as well fit the Toronto Maple Leafs into this yucky day. And I just want to tell you that even though I knew today was going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs, I woke up with a pit in my stomach, but it wasn't because of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's because of the 36 chicken wings I consumed yesterday for my fantasy football punishment. And tons of people, they all say, you know, people all say, hey, we heard you on Sabres Live today saying you're going to be here and we wanted to see it. So, you know, people that were just driving by, shopping, whatever. So, but it leaves a mark. It's the food that leaves a mark. When you're crushing that many wings, it sits in the stomach overnight for a long time. I woke up a few times in the middle of the night like, oh, it's gurgling a little bit.
More than you usually would?
A lot more than I would. I'm a sleeper like from the time I fall asleep to the time I wake up. Usually I never have to wake up in the middle of the night. Nothing phases me. Last night, I actually went to bed at like 10:30 and I woke up. I'm like, oh, it feels a little weird in the stomach right now. And I looked at my watch. It was 12:30. It wasn't even like 4 in the morning. Like I was only sleeping for
welcome
an hour
to
and a half,
me
2 hours,
every but... night.
You're not sleeping by 12:30.
No, this is the things you don't know about me.
You change.
Well, it's all unintentional. I mean, it's just sheer boredom because there's no late night hockey and I'm not interested in any other sports right now. So I can't force myself to stay up late. And so then I go to bed early and I'm awake at 12:30 and 1:30 and 3:30 and all the rest of it. So, yeah. And I can't eat rings after about 3 in the afternoon because then I wouldn't sleep for days. So
I have some compassion for those like you, Duffer, that wake up every couple of hours because that was my night last night. But
I'm not sure I'd ever be bold enough to post on social media like a day of eating and drinking. Like that doesn't seem like something that would fly with me or anybody that's following me.
For a long time, like I got there at 2 o'clock and I started, and then there was some people for lunch, right, that were there, but then the lunch crowd just went and I was one of maybe 6 or 7 people in the place for a good hour and a half. And I was by myself at the table by that point. I was watching a tennis match, Felix Auger-Aliassime having a great run. It was awesome. And then I got a text from the group, the fantasy league that I'm at. So they all work there. They all have access to the security cameras. And me standing by myself at the table. They're like, the eye in the sky is watching. And it's me sitting by myself at the table. And they're like, for goodness sake, somebody get some people over there to celebrate with him. And then I had
You not sit at the bar?
Because the bar, so if you want to watch the big TV, the bar, like you're sitting this way, you have a little tiny TV and you got to go left to try to watch. And I'm like, I don't want to be sitting watching left. I want to be sitting right in front of the TV. So I got a nice little table. Boom. I didn't want to be disturbed. Like I really have truly paid attention so much to the US Open this past week and a half that I wanted to do what I would do if I was at home is watch the match and focus on it. So there was that. Then bunch of friends came in, and then I got to watch the beginning of the women's match that was at night, where Anis Smova had a revenge on Iga Swiatek when she lost 6-0 at the Wimbledon final. Anis Smova was crying off the court, like she was embarrassed, like 6-love, 6-love in a major final, and she comes around and beat Iga in quarters last night, which was really cool.
So what we've learned here in the first 4 minutes is that your particular favorite establishment may need more televisions. Is that what I'm garnering here?
If there is something, but it's old school, right? It's they have the wall of mugs, and I don't know that there would be good location. There's a little TV on the right side of the bar, little TV on the left side, a big TV in the back. They could use maybe a 6 or 7 big screens, and they're not
have more monitors on my wall than they have in their establishment?
That's Duffer, to watch sports, your couch and your living room is probably a better place to watch multiple sports, to watch one game. Like on Sundays, you want to have the Bills game on.
Right.
Everybody's focusing on the big TV. It's like you're in somebody's family room, and that's what it is. But you, when you want multiple sporting event, I think you have a better setup.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel still disappointed that we have to talk about Toronto.
I know. I actually did run into Charlie, who's a biz dev guy, marketing guy with us. He was having a client there, so I ran into Charlie there a little later in the day. So I had some Sabres connection there as well.
Well, everyone in the organization undoubtedly proud of you today for sporting your Throwback Thursday colors. So yes. The team guy through and through.
Well, I told you guys yesterday at the very end of the show, you're like, we'll see you tomorrow. And I threw in Throwback Thursday, just under the radar. So I had to be able to go. And I love this sweatshirt that actually was my son. It has the hockey laces and it has the old goat head. Well, the new goat head and the hat that goes with it. So yeah, I stole that from his closet.
Anything else? NHL wise that you would like to get into before we dive into our team of the day?
When we were done talking yesterday about the Tampa Bay Lightning, so today I'm doing the Toronto homework and I'm getting ready, and now I'm starting to compare all rosters to the Tampa Bay Lightning roster, because I'm like, man, like yesterday, we did this an impromptu, like how many rosters in the NHL would want to trade with Tampa right now? And we were at 19, 20, 21 very easily in the process. And the more and more I look around and I go back into my pages, I'm like, oh, like Tampa has some heavy hitters. Now, Toronto used to be that team with the heavy hitters, right? They had the big four, the core four, the Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander. And now, while they did lose a piece of that this year with Marner leaving, but I'm like, is Toronto still better than Tampa? Because they were last year. Mm-hmm. And it's still a question mark. I think yes, but it's still a question mark. So I'm comparing every team to Tampa now moving forward.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think I think Toronto is a little bit better right now than Tampa is. It's a good reminder these last couple of days, just looking at, I can present it this way, not unlike how we did it yesterday. Mm-hmm. In the Matthews era of the Maple Leafs, where do you think the Leafs rank in regular season points?
They're top five.
They're top three, only trailing Boston and Tampa.
Yeah, well, I knew Boston. We talked Boston yesterday. Tampa was dominant, but Boston had all this, John
regular
Cooper
season
era, had all great success. But so I figured those two were probably up there, so I didn't know if Colorado had maybe snuck up there, but no, okay, Toronto was third behind Tampa and Boston.
But then a strong reminder for the teams not named Boston, Tampa, Toronto, and Florida that also exist in the Atlantic Division. Pretty sure you know which teams we're speaking of. It's a pretty hard division. Like, over the Matthews era, Boston, Tampa, Toronto, 1, 2, and 3, and Florida's 8. So you have 4 from the same division in the top 8. You want to count the cups? Okay. You've got 4 between the Florida teams. Boston went to a final and lost. Yeah. And Toronto, other than game 7s, is a really good playoff team.
Toronto's been cup or bust all these years, and it's like disappointing that they go to the second round. Disappointing that they have 102 points in the season to lose in the first round, and I get that. But it's that because the expectations and the success has been that good that it,
well, it's
because
the drought is so long. That's why the
too. But you know, but really, was it Toronto's never won three playoff rounds? Like in the years that they got to the cups, there was only three rounds, so they never won three playoff rounds.
Right. Yeah, there were two rounds. There was original six and top four made it. You played semifinals and finals. Yeah.
Yeah. So they never won three rounds in the playoffs.
So despite their failures, which is making the playoffs, and again, failure is in quotation here, because in the Matthews era, they've made the playoffs every year. That's nine straight. In seven of those nine, they've gone out in the first round, with one of those first rounds being a best of five qualifier against Columbus. Other than that, they've had two second round appearances, heartbreak, of course, but maybe no more so, and it's not recency bias, it's if ever there was a year, my opinion, where Leaf fans should look back and say what could have been, it was last year.
Yep.
They had the Panthers on the ropes in game three of their series. They were up 3-1. They were in overtime as well. They go up 3-0. I love the Panthers. I don't see any possible way with a confident Leafs team up 3-0 that they lose that series.
No, and everybody was talking about how home ice advantage was huge. And for Toronto, like Florida didn't care about home ice advantage or whatever, but Toronto and Tampa were trying to just get that advantage. Right. So they win their first two games at home. That's why you have home ice advantage, to be able to put that dagger in game three on the road. And Toronto had that opportunity, and they didn't get it done. And you also look at the way that this team was built. They were so good in net last year. They were top five in team save percentage with Stolarz and Wool. And at times in the year, Stolarz was hurt, Wool played a little bit more, Wool was hurt, Stolarz played a little bit more. They complemented each other. Stolarz was a top three, top four goals save above expectation goalie in the National Hockey League. Wool was top 10. So you have both your goalies in the top 10. And that was the thing. Over the past few years, it was Jack Campbell and Matt Murray, Martin Jones. It was Ilya Samsonov. It was always like, let's blame the goalies. The goalies were why they didn't win the playoffs. They got beat because their goalies wasn't good enough. Well, they had the goaltending last year. That was the year to get there. They had the new coach in Craig Berube, who had won a cup with St. Louis and was going to come in and change the culture, change everything. It didn't happen. They lose to the eventual Stanley Cup champion again in second round.
Okay, but did they lose because of culture, or did they lose because they were playing a future three consecutive finalist, now defending Stanley Cup champion? Like, so when you say
Florida
that,
was that good.
I hate that it's, and I'm not picking at you. I'm saying we throw phrases around here, and yes, I understand what people are trying to say about the Leafs and what they're still going to say because Matthews hasn't gotten to a conference final. But did they really lose against the Panthers because of culture?
No, I'm just saying that was the year where you had that everything is changing, right? Mm-hmm. We are going to have a different culture. We're going to, our goaltending is stepping up. Matthews did not score 70 goals, but like he wasn't even leading the team in goals. It was William Nylander.
Right.
So you're getting Nylander getting an unbelievable season. Marner gets to 102 points. It's like, you don't, it's not just about Matthews. Tavares was unreal. There was guys like Bobby McMahon that stepped up, that played well. You had the depth. Now, Morgan Riley had a tough year in the back end, but you go and acquire Brandon Carlo, and you still had Tanev from the year before. So it felt like this was going to be the best opportunity this group of Leafs with all their players was going to have. And I still feel that when you look at the last, you know, whatever years since Matthews and the Tavares, Marner, Nylander have been there, last year was going to be their best opportunity, their best shot. And there was a lot of good things. If you had to put a list of pros and cons as to why the Leafs are going to do it, they're going to do it. They got a new coach. And because Matthews doesn't have to lead the team because he's got help, they got better goaltending, better team defense. They got everything was in line. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen because they ran into what is now the hottest team in the NHL over the last, you know, 2.5+ years.
Right. We have breaking news. This is really nice to be able to put a pause on Team of the Day.
Anytime we got to pause Toronto talk, that's fine.
I think the organization is really helping us here today. They know that we're not, like, enamored with the subject matter on Sabres Live today, so they're throwing us a large numerical bone.
Oh, a Paul Hamilton? Numerical Paul Hamilton?
No, this is not bone on ice. This is Norris on nines. Josh Norris is now number 9 in your program for the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know what this means for Zach Benson other than future considerations. We have not been made aware of the number that Benson is going to wear, at least so I'm told. But
I think we're getting update now. I just, in real time.
He did not get 6.
He will wear number 6.
So he's Mike
Flipping
Weber,
the number 9 to
Bill
number
Housley,
6.
And he's birthday boy Jim Schoenfeld. This is amazing. 6 is one of the great numbers and of great intrigue with great character in Sabres history.
Because he wants to be top 6. He's like, I was top 9, and now I want to be elevated in the top 6. So that's why I'm changing.
Two things to consider here. When you see a forward take this number, what's the first thing you think of?
Number 6?
This type of number. This low a number.
Old school.
Jean Béliveau.
Jean Béliveau, like,
even though it's not 4, I'm like, a forward is taking 6? This is crazy. This is like, this starts with Béliveau for me.
Ovechkin, 8. Ovechkin, 8. Gordy, 9. Like, it's
7, 8, 9 are more customary, right?
Well, yeah, because the goalie numbers were 1, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 were defensemen, and 7.
In house league,
starting we're starting the 4. So that's, and people are going to say, like, no, was it that simple? When you go back to the history of the game, that was that simple. You had 1 goalie, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 defensemen, mm-hmm. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, till 15 was the forwards, maybe mm-hmm. 7, 16, 17, and then you had 30 was the other goalie number, and that was it.
Did you always play goal at the start?
No, I was a player.
So what was your first number?
I don't know. I'd have to go back to look at some of the old pictures, but our youth hockey association, when I remember being like peewee, so the way that it worked is 1 through 20 were the mites or the atom, mm-hmm. and the peewee were 21 through 40, and the bantam were 41 through 60, and the midgets were 61 through 80. So I remember playing like bantam hockey, and my number was like 53 or something. Like it
that's
was like
ridiculous.
You know, yeah, what? That's how they did the numbers.
Okay. Well, back to the story at hand here, which is Josh Norris.
Going back to 9.
I don't know if you recall, but like when they acquired him and when it became the reality of what he was going to wear, I probably...
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was like, like I didn't love 13 on him. I didn't. And this, as you might be able to tell by my voice, I'm very excited for Josh that he's wearing number 9. This is fantastic news.
I did not love 13. I'm not a big 13 guy. It has to be somebody that has had 13 forever mm-hmm. and will never change. Like you grew up with 13, yep. you continue with 13, and it stays with you. So when Norris got acquired, he went to 13, and I'm like, I'm not sure that the guy that has had injuries and whatever is going to say, I'm going with the unluckiest of numbers and you know, unlucky 13. Maybe that changes. So I wasn't thrilled with 13, but I'm never going to mention it to anybody. And definitely not to Josh Norris. Until now. Until after the fact. But I do love 9 for Norris. And I like that. So these type of situations where a player may want his number and there's another player that has that number, if it's a rookie, usually the rookie is like, there you go. If it's a, like Zach Benson can be considered a young, but he's played 2 years now.
Yes, two full years.
He's played 2 years. I'm like, wait a second. He's played 2 full seasons. So it's his number. But there's usually a little negotiation that takes place. And I think right. the Sabres tweet was like, he made him an offer he couldn't refuse. So I would love to see what the offer was. What did Josh Norris...
Solicit responses right now. What do you think the offer was?
What
at
do
Sabres
you think
Live?
The offer from Josh Norris to Zach Benson? Are we going to see Zach Benson come in with one of those big blingy watch? Because a lot of time there could be a watch. It could be like a trip, a vacation. I'll buy you a vacation somewhere. Dave Andrychuk tried everything with Vaslav Varada when Andy came back to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And Varada at 25. He tried everything. He was going to buy him like magnums of champagne and wine and was going to buy him a watch and was going to... He didn't put a car on the table, but I think it was valued almost as what a car would have been. And Varada said no. So that's why Andrychuk stayed with 52. That's when I think, like a player like Dave Andrychuk, I feel like the organization should have stepped in and said, sorry, Varada, but you're not 25 anymore. Andy
you can't
is
do that in midseason when a guy's been playing well and was already in the Stanley Cup final and all the rest of it. Like, come on.
It's Dave Andrychuk. It's Dave.
You got to respect the, like, if it's a, you can't, the organization cannot step in a situation like that.
I there was enough talk within the locker room that the guys were like, somebody should have stepped in and give Andy 25, not 52. Like, it was just like, it didn't match Dave Andrychuk. And look, Andy was great. He didn't do anything like to say, I don't want it. But it felt really weird to see Andy coming back. And when he came back, it was before the start of the 2000-2001 season, Duffer. So it was like summertime, Andy's coming back. And I think that could have been done. That probably would have been the right move to do.
Again, we are soliciting your thoughts as to what the offer was that allows Josh Norris to wear number 9. And Zach Benson, who not just in the NHL, Marty, has historically been number 9. Mm-hmm. Like his standout junior career in Winnipeg, leading scorer in his final year. Like it's all with number 9 on the back.
Yes.
So he's now number 6. I mentioned a couple of number 6s in franchise history. This news today is historic in the history of the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay.
There has never been a forward wear number 6. In our team of the day talk over the last month, we've mentioned Al Hamilton a couple of times.
Yes.
He was the first number 6, followed by Schoenfeld. Happy birthday. More on that coming up. Ron Fisher, Phil Housley, Keith Carney, Doug Huda, Bob Bugner, Corey Sarich, Jaro Spacek, Mike Weber, Cody Franson, Marco Scandella, Ethan Prowe, Eric Johnson. No forwards until now.
I think I would have said, who is the last number 6? I probably would have gone Marco Scandella. Like, I remember the Scandella-Risto, right? Like, top pairing, 55 and 6. I remember writing down on my paper, 55 and 6, 55 and 6. It was, like, in my brain. But then after that, like, I should have remembered Spacek was number 6, but forgot. Like, it probably goes right to Housley. Like, it's just, that's the way it is. You think
Mike
of
Weber,
a number,
for me, obviously, due to
Mike
the respect.
Mike Weber, yes, obviously. Yes. Don't want to be doing Webby dirty like that.
No, I'm just saying because of, like, obviously I have a, you know, really good relationship with Mike and have had for years. So it's kind of a no-brainer for me that I would think that. But you're right. Like, I mean, there's others where if you, like, I don't know. I'm not as gifted at this anymore as I was when I was very young and could tell you every number and name that was on an NHL roster at any given time.
Most of those, the likely reasons for that is the players stayed on that same team for 12 years.
No, the likely reason is when you're
sticker books,
when you're a kid and you're trying to build your knowledge base.
Yeah.
You're reading and retaining.
Yeah.
But in today's world, your brain knows that you don't have to do that because within 3 seconds on your phone or whatever device you're on or ask Siri, like you've got it. And it's a different world.
Right.
Marty, I struggle with this with music. I'm actually going through an old deep dive right now in an old iPad that is playing all this music that I have not heard from because it doesn't exist on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm longing for the hard copy days. And I understand why people got back into vinyl and all other formats, right? It's tangible when you have it in your hands and you can see it. And I think that for me was the same way with rosters and programs and things like that. Hockey Digest was the book I read all the time, every week, right? And newspapers, quite frankly, right? Yep. Like go to the stats section every Tuesday or whatever day of the week it was in your local area that they would print all the league stats. That was just like a memorization exercise for me.
Well, I mean, we do get a digital version of league stats now on the NHL Media website. And if, you know, you depending on the ranks, you may get a full copy. I love the hard copies, the papers, because it's like that. It reminds me of waking up in the morning before school, which, by the way, good luck, everybody. First day of school for most around Western New York. My kids, first day of my daughter, first day of senior year this year. So she's the second last. So it's awesome. But I used to get the newspaper after my parents had gotten their breakfast and gotten ready for work. I would get the newspaper while eating my breakfast and before getting on the bus. And they would always start from the back because it'd be the sports page. And I'd go right to the scores and the stats and seeing who's moving up. And the numbers were always right there next to the player. Like, mm-hmm. It didn't say just Paul Stastny. It said 26P Stastny. It always said the number right before the player.
Interesting you said Paul and not Peter.
I meant Peter.
I thought you did.
Peter. And do you know what Peter in French, you know what how they pronounced his first name? It was Stastny, but you know what they pronounced his first name when they would play the French, like, you know, play-by-play and radio and TV, it mm-hmm. was Peter.
Yep.
Because that's like Peter Stastny, not mm-hmm. Peter Stastny, it was Peter. And I remember, like, when I first heard somebody say Peter, I'm like, does he have another brother? Like, it was because it didn't feel like the same person.
Peter and Stastny Peter are at two that different. Time in yeah. the 80s, amazing.
It was Marianne, Anton, and Peter Stastny, not Peter, but yes.
Little known, they were giving the Sutters a run for their money. But here's the other part of it. Some of us, many of us, of this vintage that we're speaking of, grew up never knowing how the LA Kings did the night before.
Yeah, because it said it was too late for print. Too late. It just said like 10:30 p.m. Kings host, or would say knew. Like Calgary at knew. LA, yep. 10:30 p.m. It wouldn't tell you the score. And by the time you were 2 days later,
imagine.
You wouldn't go back to look at if the Kings won two nights ago. It was too late by that point.
I know. Do you agree with Jean-Luc Grandpierre?
What does he say?
Says that Zach Benson got himself a new watch.
You think? It probably is. That's the common thing. And
he's not a I don't see him as a watch guy. I don't. I would have gone 4x4 vehicle collection. All day long.
Oh. Yeah, like Rob Ray would have wanted like a four-wheeler mm-hmm. or like, you know, a jet ski or something to go along with the boat that we gave him for his retirement.
Do you think he got anything from Telkvist and John Scott?
No, but he was also not active anymore by that point.
Hadn't he already carved out a legacy? Hey, shouldn't there be a legacy clause there?
Hall of Famer, or soon to be Hall of Famer, Rob Ray, who's going into the Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Fame next week. So it is induction. But yes, soon to be a Hall of Famer, Rob Ray. He was not active when those wearing 32 came in.
Well, so it's a big day Sabre-wise, numerically speaking, as Josh Norris is now number 9, Zach Benson is number 6, and Adam Sandler is soon to be inside of KeyBank Center, and this is a performance you don't want to miss. Adam Sandler Live, You're My Best Friend, comedy tour. The critically acclaimed actor and comedian will perform on Sunday, September 21st, holy cow, 17 days away, 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Maybe we'll get back to Team of the Day next on Sabres Live.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.